First of all, thank you for allowing me to come do this. Wilmer thought, since I was so close to Halloween, he wanted me to come in costume. So, I do have to start off with a disclaimer, and I have to do this because of what I do for a living. I'm not here to attack anybody's religious beliefs or other beliefs. It's protected by the First Amendment. However, what I plan to do today is pass on some information to you that I have more knowledge of than probably most of you. Some of it does involve a lot of criminal activity in our society. And as I go through this, you will see, and you will probably associate certain things and go, okay. Now, this is a little bit different than normal. As I go along, I may say something that may make some of you offended or upset. That's okay. I don't try to do it intentionally. It just happens sometimes. I'm not the most politically correct person sometimes. This is a little different for me today because I'm going to include some things that I wouldn't normally do in this presentation. I'm going to include some scripture that I've chosen and have been led to. If anybody saw the paper this last week in Rock Falls, there's a rather unique wedding that took place at a house in town that had a lot of Halloween stuff in the front yard, and they called it the Dark Wedding. And I think that speaks volumes about a lot of things. I don't know these people. The two that got married are actually out of Rockford. And they came to Rock Falls to get married in these people's front yard. I don't know anything about the minister or the church. When I looked it up in the phone book, it gives a phone number and that's it. It doesn't give an address. So I have no idea where it's at or what it is or anything like that. But that's kind of where our society seems to be going. Those of you that have seen The Passion of the Christ, we probably recognize this picture. This is a representation of Satan in the movie. When I first saw this character in the movie, the first thing that popped in my head was, is this male or female? How many of you thought that? Yeah, is it male or female? Very quickly, I was able to determine it was a female actor. But is it male or female? Keep that in mind as I go along because I'm going to show you a drawing that a young man did later that depicts the same confusion. I'm going to get the... There we go. That's good. One of my favorite Bible verses is Ephesians 6. Because it talks about the armor of God. And Marty, I know you had the opportunity to pick some music. So, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now, if you stop and think of our society today, Ephesians 6:12, we need to be prepared to deal with those things. Just so you understand it, believe it or not, I've actually been told I've done this presentation in the past. All right. So you want to see it, okay. And I've done it in a couple different churches several years ago. And after we were done, I was talking with the minister, and the minister said, a couple different ministers said this to me, you know, those stories about Satan and whatnot, they're just stories to get people in church so we can get them in here. Excuse me? Oh yeah, they're just stories the church uses them to get people in. I said, that tells me one of three things. Either you're involved with it, you're a hypocrite, or both. And you ought to be surprised about the reaction I got. Both times it was... very loudly, very quickly, get out of my church and never come back. And my response was, as long as you're here, I won't. But, in Job 1, verses 6 through 7, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. For those of you who don't know the story, Satan was probably the number one angel until he rebelled. And he was cast from earth, or cast from heaven to earth, where he was given dominion. You know, we sometimes wonder about society and, who rules this earth? Satan rules this earth. He doesn't rule everybody in it, but he rules the earth. It was given over to him. In Luke 10, 18 through 20, Jesus was talking with some of his disciples. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And that's the key thing. That's how we can defeat this. We can't defeat it on a human level. It all has to be done on a spiritual level. That's where we need to be. Also in the New Testament, in Matthew, explaining about the sowing of the seed, he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." So there's how it ends. The angels win. We know that. Now, to get into my normal presentation, very tongue-in-cheek, lovingly, but also very seriously known as sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And those of us from a different generation, it's a phrase that was used a lot, and it's still very applicable. And as I go through this, you'll understand the concept of why the sex, drugs, and rock and roll phrasing. Just so you can kind of understand a little bit on what the pictures are on here, does anybody know anybody up here as pictures, though? That's good. In the upper right-hand corner is a gentleman by the name of Aleister Crowley. He was known as the Beast in 666. He grew up in a very strict religious home and rebelled against it. Upper left-hand corner is actually a picture of a guy by the name of Anton Zandor LaVey. He was the founder of the Church of Satan. That comes off the cover of one of my books that I have in the back. I do have some stuff laid out in the back you can look at later if you so desire. There's some magazines that you can find on most fairly large bookstores that in relationship to the subject. The other one, the lower picture, is also off a book in the back that I have. Some of the evidence of involvement of individuals that, whether they be young or old, that are there. They have an obsession with fantasy role-playing games, obsession with heavy metal rock music, and there's different genres of that, and some of it is very damaging with their message. Possession of books on magic, witchcraft, paganism, Satanism, grimoires, a personal book of shadows, possession of candles, usually tapered or in some sort of human shape, incense, knives, pentagrams, markings of 666 and other symbols. The candles, if you get anywhere near somebody that is really heavily into Satanism and should by chance be in their home and you see a set of candlesticks that are black, don't go over and handle them, please. That's one of their most prized possessions, and it's very possibly the candles are actually made from the tallow from a human body. It's usually from a little one. So that's one of their most prized possessions, and they have been known to attack people for it. Symbolic jewelry, unexplained paranoia or fear of the world. And, you might get that concept from the sheer fact that they may be heavily into drugs, and you may think it's the drugs. It's probably a combination of both in their case. Extreme secretive behavior, drug use, fear of discussing behavior or involvement. Some general profiles with adolescents. And this comes from a clinical setting, not just from a generalization. Typically, they're loners. They have an average IQs, underachievers. They're striving for power and control more than the average individual. drug and alcohol use, the heavy metal music again, pornographic material, have a preoccupation with death. We find a young person that's heavily into Satanism, they keep a book of shadows, or it's basically a journal, and a lot of times they actually write in there when they're going to kill themselves. They actually have a date and time, and a lot of them do it. Secretive, sociopathic tendencies. They're intelligent, creative, curious, underachiever, usually male, although we're seeing a larger influx of females into it. Broad socioeconomic strata, from the poorest of poor to the richest of rich, and everybody in between is involved. And that, you know, for adult participation, it involves everybody also. All walks of life. Ministers, doctors, lawyers, police officers, military personnel, everybody in between. Difficult relating to peers, alienation from family religion. I spent 16 years working in the school systems with the DARE program and other educational programs, and guaranteed the last 5 years, 98% of the kids I dealt with had actually no idea what their family religion was. Of that 98%, 99% of those had never been in a church. To me, that's a real scary concept. Once again, the fancy role-playing games, the heavy metal music, drug and alcohol use and abuse. There's different types of groups and how they form. There's a loner group. Could be just one individual doing it themselves. Could be just, you know, a couple of them. The small groups, free sex and drug parties. You notice it says videotaped and photographed. Here's where the sex and drugs and rock and roll comes into play a little bit more. I'll give you a typical recruitment scenario in a lot of areas. They hang out at the rock concerts where the young people go, and they watch, and they're trained to watch. And they find targets, and they target them, and they approach them. Like, hey, after the concert, we're going to have a party. You know, you want to come over? Sure, you know. They go over and they give them some alcohol, introduce them to some people around. It's a young man. They introduce him to some young ladies. And the young ladies show attention to him. And most young men in the teenage years, they have a fairly attractive young lady showing some attention to them. They're going to pay attention a little bit. So they say, well, next week we're going to get together again. You want to come back? Sure. So next time they come back, they give them some more alcohol, more attention, and it continues that way. Until at some point, not only is there alcohol involved, but there's other drug use involved. And then, you know, the sex kicks in. Now they have, you know, sex the first time with one young lady, and it's videotaped and photographed. And every time it comes back, it gets progressively worse. So that it's not just, you know, the sex with the one young lady, but it's with two young ladies, or a young lady and another man, or lady and a man and an animal. And they videotape it and they photograph it. At some point, they go to this young person and say, look, we want you to do this for us. It's usually something illegal. They want them to transport some drugs. They want them to commit a burglary or do other things. And they say, I don't think I want to do that. Well, watch this video. And they play the video. And they tell this young person, oh, if you don't do this for us, we're going to send a copy of that to your school principal. We're going to send a copy of that to your mom. We're going to send a copy of that to your grandma. We're going to send a copy of it to your minister. So what do you think the young person does? They do it. They've got them. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now, here's the thing. The kid feels guilty because of what's on tape and what's on the photos. And now he's trapped, or she's trapped. So they continue to do it. Well, they start to deal with their guilt in what way? What do you think? Drugs and alcohol. So they continue to abuse drugs and alcohol. Of course, then when they're messed up, they do things for the group. And they keep going back to the group because they've got them trapped. Brought into a belief system. Sacrifice for power, a death contract, committing suicide, book of shadows. The bedroom is a big area for young people that is used as where they do their rituals. A pattern change of behavior and or friends. Take a kid who's normally a pretty good kid, who now all of a sudden is starting to do some real dark things, and their friends change drastically. I mean, you know, you've seen that in movies. You've seen it in society. The heavy metal music, once again. Books that describe ritualist activity. They'll have, start having these books. Satanic Bible, Satanic Rituals. The Satanic Bible is written by Anton LaVey. Public libraries can't keep them. They'll get them, put them on the shelves, and once they're on the shelves, within, if it lasts a month, it's a miracle. They disappear. Some bookstores won't even purchase them and put them on the shelves anymore because they can't keep them, and nobody buys them. They steal them. Huge book to be stole. Fantasy role-playing games. The primary one from long ago is Dungeons and Dragons. There's a lot of fantasy role-playing games now, especially on the computer. Dungeons and Dragons, if you would actually take time to sit down and look through some of the books they have to go with the game, you actually have to do satanic rituals to progress through the game. And the only way to truly win in the game is to be as evil as you can. The good characters in the game, they lose quick. The ones that win it are the most evil characters. Use of drugs to enhance ritualistic activity and the criminal damage to property. There's a lot of criminal damage to property that's done that is connected. Different levels. The experimentalist, the dabbler, when it's kind of a little bit interested. I talked with a mother here a few weeks ago. Daughter's a runaway. Daughter's heavily into witchcraft. Mom's letting her do that. You know, she wants to make her own choices. And I told Mom about the Book of Shadows, about a journal. I said, you need to get in her bedroom and look for it, see if it's there. Well, why? Well, because a lot of times in the journal, they'll put down when they're going to commit suicide. And you need to see if that's in there. If that's in there, you need some extra help. And Mom looked at me like I was nuts. I get that a lot, so... The self-style, this is the catch-all level. How many of you are familiar with an individual that was referred to as the Night Stalker? A guy named Richard Ramirez. Committed several rapes and attacks out in California several years ago. He used the trappings of Satanism for his crimes, so because he knew he was going to get caught eventually. When he was actually in court, in his left hand, he drew a pentagram and at one point held it up and said, Hail Satan, in the courtroom while court was in session. Richard Ramirez is not a Satanist. I know an individual that actually sat down and interviewed him. He's not a Satanist. He used the trappings of Satanism for his excuse for his crime so that when he got caught, he could plead insanity and try and get out of it. The occult, organized and traditional. This is an area that is generational. You could have somebody raised, brought up and raised in an occult group and not even know it because of the brainwashing that goes on. And then the International Occult Network, a large organization. You've heard a lot lately in regards to child pornography coming across the Internet. My understanding is about 95% of child pornography in the world is controlled by the occult network. Yeah, and most people, when they think of the child pornography thing, most of you right there, you get pretty sick to your stomach listening to that. So that gives you the level. Self-styled religious groups, satanic cults. Get a little bit more detail on some of those later. I mentioned Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible. This is one page from the Satanic Bible. These are the nine satanic statements and what they kind of follow. Basically, what it means is this. Do whatever you want to, it's okay. If you can justify it's okay for you, it's good. If you stop and think about the things in regards to Satan and you can do whatever you want. It's okay. There's no consequences to it. Things they get involved with. Suicide. We don't have any real stats that tie in the number of people who commit suicide that are involved in Satanism. Although over the past several years, I can think of at least a half a dozen that I know of that have taken place in Sterling Rock Falls that were definitely involved with that. Withdrawn from family and religion, difficulty relating to peers, rebellion to society. We don't have anybody who rebels against society. I still do that once in a while. Drugs, selling and using, rituals, murders, physical and sexual abuse, criminal damage to property, burglary, animal mutilations. I just forgot the guy's name. Up in Wisconsin, He's convicted of several murders where they found these. Who? Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer. Thank you. See, you guys know about these people. Jeffrey Dahmer, when they started looking back at his history, where he used to live, they went out behind the house and found all sorts of evidence of animal mutilations that he did. And he confessed to it. Dropping in grades, high truancy rate, undue fascination of death, torture, and suicide, violent and aggressive behavior towards teachers, parents, and authoritative figures. We got a lot of young people like this right now. And it doesn't matter their size. Bizarre cruelty and animal mutilations and sacrifices. Cruelty themselves. We got a lot of young people, especially young females, they're into cutting themselves right now. They're called cutters. You know, it's a control thing for them, but what's driving it? Now, that's pretty cruel. Fascination for edged weapons, swords, knives, etc. I can think of a few kids around town like that. Self-mutilation, the cutting. Compulsive interest in occult material, obsessed with music, video, fantasy role-playing games. You've been hearing me harp a little bit about the music, and I'll get to show you some examples of some groups here in a little bit, and I'll explain it a little bit better. Characteristics of a dabbler, middle to upper class family, male, female, intelligent, but underachiever, rebellious against society, low self-esteem, they're very creative. Curiosity beyond the norm, difficult relating to peers, they're bored. How many kids do you hear? I'm bored. There's a lot of that going around. Alienation from family and religion, rebellion against society, very secretive, the heavy metal music again, involved in fantasy role-playing games and use of rituals. You know, it may be something real that you wouldn't even notice. Maybe when they sit down to eat, they do something specific before they start eating or as they eat. As they start to eat meat, they may mumble something. You can't really understand what it is, you know, how kids mumble. Or even some adults, how they mumble. They may be doing a ritual before they eat that meat. Especially if you find a young person that really likes their beef cooked rare. Most kids don't like their beef cooked rare. Had an instance here a few years ago, got a call from, I think it was Kiwani, and asked if we'd had any instances of people going into the grocery store and eating raw steak on their way to pay for it. They had two kids that would come into the store, walk to the meat department, pick up three or four steaks, and have two of them gone before they got to pay for them and finished the other two before they were out of the parking lot, eating them raw. And I said, you need to look at some other things here. The how of this, secrecy, once again, the heavy metal music, the books, video movies, fantasy role-playing games again, hurting themselves in ritualistic manners. Some of the kids that are cutters do it a very specific way. And they may do very specific patterns. Use of drugs to enhance the ritualistic activity, or the use of drugs to deal with their guilt and confusion. Criminal damage to property, graffiti to churches and cemeteries, suicide, murders, use of ritualistic paraphernalia, jewelry, I'll throw the jewelry in there. When? Indiscriminate use of the calendar. We have groups locally that meet every Friday night. We have groups locally that only meet on full moons. We have groups that meet at other different times. The self-styled, antisocial, a little bit psychotic usually, use of beliefs to justify their behavior, Richard Ramirez, I talked to him about him a little bit. Bizarre criminal behavior, use of ritual, use of drugs. What are they into? Serial murders. Drugs for the self or the victim, physical, sexual abuse, animal mutilations. How? They can be organized or they can be disorganized. They can be very organized and structured, or they're just going to do stuff on a whim. Where? You name it, they'll do it anywhere. When? May not use a ritualistic calendar, and I'll put an example of that up here a little bit later at the end. Anybody familiar with the McMartin Daycare Center case out in California? Got a couple people shaking their head. McMartin Daycare Center in California, they were ritualistically abusing children. And it got found out, and the investigation by law enforcement, quite frankly, was screwed up from the beginning. Simple reason being is that 95 to 98% of law enforcement individuals and organizations, you start talking about this, they want to do this. They don't want to hear it because of the First Amendment. It's a religious. They look at the religious aspect of it instead of the criminal aspect. So they don't want to investigate it in that way. I know of two law enforcement officers that are now retired that, because of them chatting with me, were told that if they ever chatted with me about that again, they'd get suspended without pay for a month because of what they asked me and what it involved. So law enforcement doesn't want to deal with it because of the First Amendment. However, they need to look at certain things. There are some of us around the country that do look at this a little bit different way. And a lot of times it's like you read too many books, you watch too many movies, and stay away from me. So, and I get that once in a while too. McMartin, here's what they did. You were a new parent bringing your child in, and they greeted you. They took the child over, and they gave them a pet rabbit. This is your pet. Every time you come, you have to feed it, you have to water it, you have to play with it. They would do this for a while. And at one point, they would ritualistically abuse the child. And one of the things that they did is that one of the individuals that was involved with that was dressed up like I'm dressed. Another one was dressed up like a judge in his robes. Another one was dressed up like a doctor. And they ritualistically abused the child. And then what they did is they brought their pet rabbit out and killed the rabbit in front of them and said, if you tell anybody, this is what will happen to you. And then they put him back out in the daycare setting and gave everybody pictures of rabbits to color. And they had to glue on the tail. And they cut the tail off their pet rabbit and had them glue it on the table, on the rabbit picture. And, of course, when mom or dad came to pick up little Johnny or little Susie, he said, here, this is what your child did today. Hang this on the refrigerator and tell them what a good job it is. So what did mom and dads do? They put it on the refrigerator, and every time they see it, they talk about it. Now, can you imagine a 4 or 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and the confusion in their head at this point? Sick people. Where do these places occur? Cemeteries, abandoned buildings, forest preserves, residences, churches, public buildings, libraries, bookstores, and video stores where they can grab the material. One place that's not on that list that I should have on there is schools. Over the past 20 years, I've been in different schools where we've looked in lockers, and there's an altar set up in the locker. And every time that kid goes to their locker, they say a quick ritual. Characteristics of this next group, it's a top-level group, very little known about them, very similar to mafia in structure. They're masters of deception. You'd see them in everyday life, would never know. They're very strict, have strict vow of secrecy, life and death commitment. There's only one way out, and that's to die. Usually nameless, although some of them do have names, and we do know some of the names. Very influential, unlimited resources, lots of money. International core group, very sophisticated, very high tech. You know, they communicate by computer, and you know, they had the good cell phones first type thing. Organized to promote chaos and evil. Stop thinking about that. Their sole purpose in our society is to create chaos and evil. Total absolute commitment, control, and obedience to the group, control of drug distribution and usage, and extreme use of rituals. Some of these groups commit 8 human sacrifices a year at minimum. And at least 2 of those will be children, little ones. Seeding evil in their society. That's what they're there for. That's their job. That's how they think about it. Very high-tech international network, control of drug distribution and usage, use of various media to influence society. Stop and think about our media and how it influences our society. Infiltration to gain power and control. And also education. They're highly educated, but they also are educators. A lot of them work in universities and schools and whatnot. Internationally, special dates for celebrations for ritualistic activity. One of the big ones is Tuesday night. Once again, characteristics. We've covered a lot of those. Criminal activity at the bottom. Mentioned the concept of ritualistic abuse, and that goes on a lot, whether it's to small ones to get them started or to older people to get involved. Ritualistic abuse is a repeated physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual assaults combined with systemized use of symbols, ceremonies, and the use of evil designed and orchestrated to attain harmful effects, to turn the victim against themselves, society, and God. That's what ritualistic abuse is. Now, if you look at this and you think about some of the things that go on in our society, some of the highly publicized abuse cases around the country, you can start seeing how it ties in. Techniques to do it: isolation, sexual abuse, and it's usually not for self-gratification, it's just to abuse them. Death threats, blackmail, brainwashing, coercion, continual repetition of it. Participation in the desecration of life and religious symbols. Fear, pain, guilt, mistrust, humiliation, confusion, hatred, violence, and betrayal. These are the techniques that they use. Kind of sounds like Rome just before it fell. Now, some of the heavy metal groups, and I put these up there, and some of you, when I showed this list to Wilmer, he was like, yeah, I remember some of these songs. Here's the thing. Research has shown this. You take 100 people, especially young people, and you put them together, and you constantly expose them to a specific message in music. Of that 100, 25 of them will act out on that message if it's a constant exposure. Think about that. Take a group of kids, 100 of them, and have them listen to nothing but the same message over and over and over. 25% of them are going to act out on it. Some of them to the extreme. The other 75%, that's just music. But to some of them, it reaches them and speaks to them. Not everybody that listens to this music is involved in Satanism. Okay, there's a couple of the groups up there. I've kind of learned to like a couple of their songs. But oh, the third one down, Dead Kennedys. Anybody know that? Anybody ever heard that group? Guess who it's named for? Yeah, that's who it's named for. Lunar astrological symbols that are associated with the occult. I don't know if you realize it, every day had a symbol for it. You know, Sundays is up there. There we go. Different types of alphabets they use. If you see somebody that's involved, they may have a tattoo or writing on their hand, or they may have it jotted down on their notebook, or they may have a symbol, they may wear jewelry. Another different alphabet. This one's the witch's alphabet. This is an example of a very typical ritual site. Ritual site could be outside in a field. It could be in somebody's bedroom. It could be in a locker at school. You notice that there's double circles, and you'll notice by the little sign that it says salt. Here we go. The outer circle is made out of salt. The inner circle is made out of salt. The reason for that is to contain demons, and they prefer to use kosher salt if they can. They'll have an altar at the one end. They'll have a fire site at the other end. You can find candles or symbols or amulets with inside the circle. I've seen these set up in school lockers. I've seen them set up in people's homes. I've seen them set up out in the woods too. Different symbols that you'll see associated with it. Of course, the 666, the FFF. Anybody know why the FFF? That's the sixth letter of the alphabet. The horn hand. Anybody here ever go to some of the rock concerts? See, a lot of kids, I receive footage of the kids doing this in the concert. Most kids have no idea what they're doing, because everybody else is doing it. You know, the band does it. But it's being done for a reason. And then the swastika. Of course, we know it as a swastika, but long before it was associated with Adolf Hitler, it has been used in ancient cultures in their religious beliefs. It represents earth, wind, fire, and water. In fact, any graduates of Rock Falls High School here? One, two, okay. If you would go back and look at the yearbooks from the 1920s, you'll find the swastika on the yearbook. I would happen to stumble across it. I'm going, wait a second. And I got looking at the date. It was in the 1920s. It was before Hitler came to power, and we knew it as a swastika associated with Hitler. So, the upper, that inverted cross is satanic justice. I've seen that twice on bodies. And it was carved on them. They messed up within the group, and the group killed them. And they carved that on them. You may find there may be one of the things that we've talked about, or I know we've studied in Bible studies, is that back in the olden days, you know, they had the females, the altar prostitutes, used for rituals at the pagan altars. A lot of the females that are involved in that will have that symbol, the sexual symbol, right symbol, tattooed on them, because that's what they're used for. Blood ritual symbol, you may see that drawn someplace. Talismans, trail markers. I did a presentation, I'm guessing close to 18 years ago, down at Walnut for a group of like Rotary or something like that, and it was all guys, and I threw this up there and was talking about it, and I looked up and I saw this guy, I mean, he just went white. I was waiting for him to pass out, and I was trying to figure out, okay, what nerve did I touch here? And he just, you know, kind of did this, and he says, we got those on some roads outside of town. What? So afterwards I talked to him, he told me where that, and sure enough, went out and they were drawn just like that. It's a directionals. It's directions how to get to where you need to go for a ritual. You know, this could be the starting point, and you go X amount of distance this way and X amount of distance this way, and this is where you end at. Or this might be the starting point, and you go here and here. See, every group is different, and you got to know what it means. You might see it, and I don't know what it is. But yeah, they were spray painted in the road in red spray paint. Some other symbols there. The top one here, this Roman symbol of justice. This is usually the person within the group that handles out the punishment, kind of the enforcer. Just within the last month, I saw a young man new to the area that I had never seen before, and he had that tattooed right here by his collarbone. It was covered up most of the time. I did see it once. But, somebody I need to keep an eye on. The triangle, this can be found inside a ritual site. I've seen it in every ritual site, and if it's on outside, it'll be done once again in salt. They use the triangle. That's where they actually call the demon up in. Is it in the triangle? The strength of the triangle, plus it being made out of salt, contains the demon there. If they didn't call up with inside that triangle, the demon would be free to float around inside the ritual site, and they want to contain them. Remember, it's all about control here. Circle's got lots of different meanings. The anarchy symbol is used a lot with a lot of the heavy metal groups. They put it on their albums and, you know, have it displayed. Upside down cross. And those of you of age can remember the bottom one here, peace symbol. Most people don't know what it is. It's the cross of Nero. Nero said Christianity was nothing. So he took the cross, broke its arms, and turned it upside down. So you old hippies that think the peace symbol's cool, there's a meaning for it you probably didn't know. We have the pentagram at the top there, the five-pointed star with the single point up, typically associated with witchcraft. And of course, within witchcraft, there's the white witchcraft and the dark witchcraft, and the white witchcraft will tell you that they're not into anything bad. Okay. And then you have the upside down pentagram, the Baphomet, which is normally associated with the dark satanic stuff. Anybody see any representation there of what it represents? The upside down pentagram. It's a goat's head. The center part's the face. We got the two horns, the ears, and the beard. And then there's the hexagram, considered the most powerful symbol in the occult world. And I never knew why until just here not too long ago. What do we think of that when we see it? Star of David. But within the occult world, it's the most powerful occult symbol. And I finally found out why. By reading the Da Vinci Code. All these years I've been doing this, never knew why it was considered the most powerful. I didn't know it was, but I didn't know why. The two overlaying triangles represent man and woman in their joining. And that's power. It's the most powerful symbol in their realm. Some other ones, other symbols that are associated. The top two up here, what do they kind of look like? Modified swastikas. Sybil and Edward, the Grimstone. They started a group called the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Sounds pretty ominous in its own right. Well, they started that church because they used to belong to a group known as Scientology, run by L. Ron Hubbard. They got into a beef with L. Ron, separate out, and one try and destroy him. A lot of people don't understand that L. Ron Hubbard was very much into Satanism and the drugs himself, personally. And when Aleister Crowley died in 1947, Aleister Crowley was considered the father of modern Satanism. L. Ron Hubbard claimed to have taken over his powers. So, that's their symbols. Now, what's the connection with them and society and what you know about? Anybody know of a little crazy guy by the name of Charlie Manson? Okay, a little bit of history on Charlie Manson. Charlie Manson at one time belonged to the Aryan Brotherhood, white supremacy movement. At one time, he was a member of Jim Jones's church. Anybody remember Jim Jones? Okay, Jim Jones had a group of people he took down to South America and had them all drink the purple Kool-Aid and died. Well, Charlie Manson was a member of that church, and he's about that close to taking it over from Jim Jones. Charlie walked in the front door of the building one day, and in this ear, he felt something. And in this ear, he felt something. There were barrels of revolvers. And he stopped. Probably a good thing. Well, maybe not. Depends how you want to look at it. And they basically walked up to him and said, "Leave now and never come back, or you're dead." And he just basically stepped back out the building this way and turned around and walked away. He went and joined Scientology. At that time, what Scientology had to offer, he finished everything they had in less than a year. Scientology went to him and said, "You need to leave because you're nuts." Is that the pot calling the kettle black? So anyway, he hooks up with the Process Church of the Final Judgment. And we all know what Charlie Manson was involved with, the Tate LaBianca murders. What's the theory behind the Tate LaBianca murders? There's a book about it. Beatles had a song by that name. Come on, somebody's got to know it. Helter Skelter. Vincent Bugliosi was the prosecuting attorney. He wrote the book Helter Skelter, talking about the De La Bianca murders and why it was done. Anybody know the theory of why it was done? It was done to start a race war. That's what came out in trial. However, afterwards, I have a book in the back called The Ultimate Evil, and dispels that truth that we knew. The book of The Ultimate Evil is actually written on the 1970s case of the Son of Sam murders. There's a series of murders that took place in New York City. David Berkowitz was tried and convicted for all those. They can only prove he pulled the trigger twice out of the seven. Every one of them was filmed. You can still purchase copies of those different murders that they did on the black market if you know where to go. It cost you about $35,000 to get a copy of one. They were filmed as snuff films. People pay money to watch those. Ties the Son of Sam murders into the Tate LaBianca murders and stuff in between. Also during that investigation, they found out that Charlie Manson, there's another guy out there they referred to as Charlie Manson number two. And they said the Charlie Manson that we know is a Cub Scout compared to the other guy. They finally got the other guy arrested in the 80s and put him in prison. But he went on for about 20 years of doing crimes, murders, and whatnot. And he would leave things behind to taunt authorities. He did it for years. They finally caught him and got him put away. From what the investigation shows is that the Tate LaBianca murders were done as a favor for somebody higher up within the Process Church of the Final Judgment. There's the Baphomet down there at the Satanic Goat. Some other symbols associated. Anybody know who Zoso is? Zoso. That's the three-headed dog that guards the entrance to the gates of hell. It's also Jimmy Page's nickname. Anybody know who Jimmy Page is? Some of us do. Some other things you might see. Some different types of body markings. We see a lot of upside-down crosses. But in looking at it, sometimes the upside-down cross, you'll find it on their left hand. And as you look at it, it looks right side up because it's got the short arm up and the cross arm and the long arm down. But when they look at it this way, it's upside down to them. Skulls, crossbones, coiled snakes. Those of you that are fans of the Jack Nicholson movie, what's the name of it? The Shining, Red Room. Some talismans that are more Egyptian in origin. I've seen quite a few people wearing some of these. Some different things you might see there. That particular picture I got from a clinical psychologist. Just had a patient that she was dealing with and said, just draw me a picture. What do you mean? We're going to start. They said, just draw me a picture. Kid drew this in about 2 minutes. With all the shading and everything. Opened a whole new line of conversation for him. These are, those two up at the top are upside down. When I copied it wrong. They should be, you know, set up like this. I've seen something similar to this in lockers and sitting on some people's desks at work. That is a copy of a notebook cover that I got from a high school student. That was the back side of it. It was the back cover of the notebook. The spiral notebook was the outside. This was the inside. Take a look at this picture. Remember, I showed you the picture from Passion of the Christ, and I asked how many had a problem thinking it was male or female. The drawing character on the left, is it male or female? It's both. If you look at From the waist down, it looks more feminine. From the waist up, it looks more male. You know, photocopiers have come a long way since I made this copy. The eyes in this are supposed to be red. That was the only color in the picture, was the eyes. They were red. Not only did he draw that one, he drew that one. Once again, the eyes here and here were red. Once again, this was a young man that came into a meet with a therapist. He was very agitated, you know, just real fidgety. And the therapist said, just draw a picture first. Drew those two pictures and the detail that they're in less than 5 minutes. It was not too bad, you know. I think it looks a little juvenile instead of maybe high school. Once again, kid in with therapy, with a therapist, a little agitated, asked to draw a picture, drew this picture in less than 3 minutes. Oh, it was drawn by a third grader. This particular album listened to constantly, put on, played over and over and over for the kid. Where it says call, I whited out the phone number that was written in there. It's once again drawn in less than 5 minutes. And I can't remember if the kid was in first grade or second grade at the time. Told the therapist, I've seen that truck drive down the road here in Whiteside County. Colors. You know, we all like colors. Some people have favorite colors. They use colors within their world. Can mean different things. This is just some examples, but every group is different. For example, up here they have white for happiness. I know one particular group, they use the color white. For example, if you're part of that group and you receive a bouquet of white carnations, you're to commit suicide. The reason we know that is because there was a mother that was with her two children in a secure hospital, come to find out that during the birth of her second child, she started having all these bizarre flashbacks. Absolutely knew no reason why. Wanted to kill her kids, wanted to kill herself. She sought clinical help, got put into a facility that was secure, and through that, come to find out she had been raised in a satanic group. She was the high priestess and didn't even know it. It was the birth of her second child that brought that to her memories. Her parents were the ones that were, you know, the generational aspect of it. And what happened was one day she received a bouquet of white carnations. They didn't know anything about it. Brought them in, walked in the room and handed them to her and said, this was delivered for you. She looked down and saw the card and saw her mom's handwriting, and she immediately made a beeline for the window to go through the window. Fortunately, this is a good facility. That particular window was 2 inches thick and can't be opened, which is good because they were on the 15th floor. And she just kept trying to run in the window. They had to call for help to restrain her, had to sedate her, and then found out later, 2 weeks later, what the deal was. She was out of sorts for 2 weeks because of it. They couldn't do anything with her for 2 weeks until because of the bouquet of flowers that she received. So it depends on the group, what they do, what colors they use, and whatnot. You have a handout that hopefully you received. It's a big page. And basically what it is a scriptural reference to the existence of Satan and demons and ties in there. So you can have something to some light reading at home. And I say that jokingly because it's not light reading, but it does give you a presence of, you know, how Christianity can deal with it. I showed this page to Wilmer, and he immediately recognized the picture at the bottom. He's seen that quite a bit. But here are some holidays and what they represent within the occult world. Of course, October 31st, Halloween's coming up. That's the night the dead return to the earth. That's their belief. And from some of my experiences, I will say it's true. That evil, you know, the evil does come to life that night. But different holidays throughout the year, what they represent, that is not an inclusive list because each group is individual. Like I said, I know a group that meets every Friday night. Part of that group, what they do on Friday nights is they know that there are several Christian groups that have prayer meetings that night or Bible studies that night. They actually go to those neighborhoods and know the houses that they're in, and they go around the block trying to cast spells and do chants against those Bible studies and prayer meetings. They've been doing that for years in the area. This has been pretty typical of a presentation that I do on this. Most people sit there and kind of go, uh-huh. Which is okay. Because, let's face it, most people don't want to acknowledge this exists. Why? It's scary. But what's the bigger reason? Because if they acknowledge this exists, what else do they have to acknowledge? Christ and God. And they don't want to do that because that interferes with their lives and they have to make a choice. That's scary for a lot of people. They don't want to do it. So, but let's have some hope here. First Peter 5, 8 through 9. Put it up here a little bit higher there. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. A friend of ours, member of the band, is getting ready to go to China. He's going to take his Bible with him because he's going to have time to read on the plane. He's probably going to have some time at night to read when he gets there, when he's, you know, not doing his job. One of the concerns is he going to make it through customs with that Bible? Are they going to take it? Are they going to detain him? So all around the world, you know, the Christian church is growing rapidly in other parts of the world. They're going through the same sufferings and trials that we have here because of it. But there's hope. James 4. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's how we win. A friend of mine with the state police, I'll tell you a quick story that happened to me when I was in Springfield. Went down for a DARE training. I was part of the DARE training team. Was on the training team. Went to the hotel that we were going to use on a Sunday evening. Walked into the hotel, got checked in. As I'm walking down to my room, things just did not seem right at all. I mean, I was very agitated and upset, and I started going all over this hotel looking for it. I had no idea where it was. I was down in their basement. I was in, you know, where their mechanical room is. And I'm just, you know, they saw me walking around. They didn't think anything. They knew who I was. And, you know, I finally was up on the third floor, and I walked by this room, and I just froze. And I looked at the room number and went downstairs. I said, we need to go check a room. Is it empty? They said, yeah, you know, they checked out this morning. We need to go check that room. Why? I said, we just need to go check that room. Walked into the room. Room looked fine. It was all made up. Waiting for the next guest to come in. I reached down and pulled back the corner of the carpet. There's a big pentagram on the floor. I said, you need to clean this up? Why? Why do you think? So they closed off the room, and they actually did pull all the furniture out and the carpeting out, and they did clean it off the floor. And the one gal says, what do we do now? And I says, well, I says, you need to get a minister in here to say some prayers. One of the gals happened to be Catholic, so she called her Catholic priest, and in about a half hour there was a Jesuit priest there. And he gave me kind of a dirty look and went off to his room and did whatever he did. Talking about it with the guy that was actually my mentor at the time, he was training me, and he's a Christian man. And he says, how do you deal with this? I said, what do you mean, how do you deal with this? The only way you can deal with it is your faith in Christ and God. He says, I'm a believer, and he says, I consider myself a Christian man. He says, but I don't know if I can deal with that. I said, well, we all have to grow. We all have to get stronger. We do it through Scripture. We do it through faith and trust in the Lord.